Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you, coming to you from a basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy, also in studio with us today. And we are fighting for life, liberty, and property. We're fighting for family, faith, and freedom in an age in which these values have largely disappeared and no longer run in the bloodstreams of the Western world. But thank God, there is something of a passion for the remnants of life and liberty, freedom, faith, family in the Western world. And I want to bring out the Alfie phenomenon on this edition of the program. Alfie, the little one-year-old boy who is stuck in a hospital in England, and he has been sentenced to death by multiple courts all the way up into the European Court of Appeals. And there is nothing more inspiring than Alfie's father, Tom, who has, I think, led this crusade probably more than anybody else. He has traveled to Italy. He's met with the Pope. He tried to gain as much access to opportunities for his son to live as anybody has ever done, perhaps in the history of English medicine. And so here is a segment from YouTube that I think speaks strongly to the man's passion for saving the life of his child. And so I'm just going to play a piece of this. It's so rare to run into this kind of passion. You've got to watch the YouTube on this one. Alfie's father comes out and speaks to the latest death sentence that's been handed down by a high court for his son, Alfie, who is held captive in a hospital in Great Britain. Here we go. Here's Alfie Evans' father, Tom.
I'm not crying because I know how wrong they are and I know how strong my boy's doing. My boy's strong, he's comfortable. This isn't over, this is just the start. I'm going to take this absolute NHS down. I'm not giving up, my son ain't giving up. No one, and I repeat, no one in this country has taken my boy away from me. No one, and they're not violating his rights and they're not violating my rights. My son is 2 years of age and he's been sentenced to the death penalty. How wrong is that? We got the false impression that we were going to at least get the dignity to go on with him, but instead now they want him dead on Friday.
Wow. That's a wow. Bill, I have not heard that kind of passion from anybody, you know, I think, for a very long time.
Every time we're in this bunker, I get to see passion.
A little bit.
I mean, I get to watch you, not hear you, but watch you.
But
I mean,
check,
you come up out of the seat, but this guy.
Check out the fire in his eyes.
This guy's fighting for his son's life.
He is.
And that.
That's refreshing.
That's refreshing because in a world in which fathers abandon their children and mothers kill their children in the womb. Mm-hmm. This is inspiring.
It is inspiring. It is certainly
it is so starkly in contrast to the statement of the administrator of the hospital where little Alfie is, and this guy is whining. Listen to this statement from David Henshaw, who's the chief executive, and said that the staff is subjected to, quote, a barrage of highly abusive and threatening language and behavior. We have endured attacks upon our motivation, our professionalism, and our ethics. It has been a very difficult time. Having to carry on our usual day-to-day work in a hospital that's required a significant police presence just to keep our patients, staff, and visitors safe is completely unacceptable, end quote. A Nazi death camp guard could have said the same thing.
Yeah. And
it's just our professionalism is being questioned.
They have sentenced this little boy, Alfie, to death. And more importantly, they have denied parental rights. And we're going to talk about parental rights on this edition of the program. But certainly the pro-death socialist system in England is getting a bad rap and has since Charlie Gard. Remember Charlie Gard?
Yep.
That was, I think, 6 months ago. Charlie Gard, his parents were fighting for his life. They lost the fight. Alfie apparently is fighting for his own life as well as his parents. So Alfie has become an international phenomenon, my friends. Even the Pope is involved, as I said. LifeSite News updates us on what's going on with Alfie, the little boy who is languishing in a hospital in Great Britain. And basically, here's what's happening. A court order had Alfie removed from his ventilator just earlier this week, and he has been off ventilator now for 66 hours. He defied everybody's expectations by breathing on his own.
Yep, that's what the father says.
Yeah, absolutely. And so they pulled him off the vent, assuming that would somehow end the child's life. It didn't. Parents Tom and Kate now have fought every step of the way since this time to secure oxygen, water, and food for their son. They would like to take him for treatment to Italy, but the courts have consistently ruled against that as well. This LifeSite News article also refers to a Polish doctor that said that the fact that Alfie can breathe on his own, coupled with his MRI, proved that he is not in a terminal state. She said it appears that Alfie has been imprisoned by the hospital. Also, a group of UK doctors are up in arms on this one as well. The doctors have issued a public notice. "We are deeply concerned and outraged by the treatment and care offered to Alfie Evans. Actions such as these have now brought the Elder Hay Hospital to worldwide attention and by extension bring our whole profession into disrepute." They're stating that medical tyranny must stop, and the doctors demand that the British authorities allow Alfie safe passage to Rome, and so forth and so on. So that's LifeSite News. And friends, this is taking on a life of its own, and no pun intended. It's refreshing to see that Alfie's father is fighting hard. And I think it's because of the passion of Alfie's father that this has become an international phenomenon. People are picking up these messages on YouTube, and they are up in arms. And certainly there are groups of people protesting outside of the hospital. And it's interesting, Bill, that you can fly to Switzerland for doctor-assisted suicide, but you can't fly to Italy to survive,
right,
to live. Isn't that interesting? Somehow governments allow for people who are terminally ill to fly into Switzerland for doctor-assisted suicide, but you can't make it to Rome if you want to live. Interesting. That's certainly the pro-death attitude of the British government and socialist medicine in general. Remember, my friends, as governments increasingly control medicine, they will increasingly advocate euthanasia and doctor-assisted suicide, and of course, government-enforced doctor-assisted suicide. That certainly is on its way. Well, we'll be back with more on the parental rights case for Alfie Evans in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abort-efficient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about 1/3 of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way, protecting life as Christians do at 1/3 the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. On the Generations Radio Broadcast, Kevin Swanson here, Bill Jack also in studio today as we talk about the Alfie Evans phenomenon. Alfie Evans hanging on for dear life. He's off ventilator. His parents are now asking that he be able to come home, and obviously home more safe than the hospital at this point. But two issues, not just one issue relating to this problem. The British government is pro-death, yes. Most socialist countries are pro-death. That's just what happens when you violate the Eighth Commandment. You're probably going to be violating the Sixth Commandment too, and the Seventh Commandment. Throw in another one there for you. But the British government and the British people have also given up on parental rights. So it's not just a life issue, it's a parental rights issue. In fact, it's more a parental rights issue than it is a life issue at this point. I think the legal eagles would agree with me on that point. The British toddler, Alfie Evans, is not allowed to leave the country, but that's because the parents have no right to demand parental rights if they have surrendered medical costs to the state. And then when they checked Alfie Evans into a socialist medicine or into socialist hospitals and the governments were paying the funds, the government gets to make the call as to where their funds are going to go. And that's the argument that these folks are forgetting. As parents have checked their children into government schools, government hospitals, et cetera, they surrender medical costs to the state and they surrender their own rights to make the call for their own kids' medical treatment to the state as well. Jesus said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar. That is, if you have already agreed to use Caesar's money or Caesar's medical care, then you pretty much have to play by Caesar's rules in those areas that Caesar now governs. And that's the point that Jesus made.
Yeah, Jesus was saying, he said, give me a coin. He said, whose image is on the coin?
Yeah.
And the image was Caesar's.
That's right.
Whose image is stamped on every person who's ever lived? Well, it's bent, it's misshapen, it's fallen, but it's God's image.
That's exactly right.
But
that's the problem
with secular education is it stamps the state's image on the minds of children, and that's wrong. And this is a case where they've stamped the image of the state of death on this little boy.
Well, exactly. And the British government, of course, violating the Sixth Commandment, but also the Eighth Commandment as they steal the children from the parents. But the parents have given up the kids. And I think we have to acknowledge that at points, that as we pick up Caesar's medical care, Caesar will make the call as to what happens with the kids. What the government funds, the government controls. If government is paying for Alfie's medical costs, governments get to call the shots. You know, you surrender your parental rights when you give your children over to the public schools and to the public medical systems. You surrender your children's food, medical costs, and education to the state.
That's
now
the way it is.
The state is going to control your children's diet, your children's health care, your children's education. That's the way it goes, my friends. And this is the package deal that I think these British parents are forgetting. And we're going to get into one more story here before we're done on this edition of the program, because this ties into parental rights as well. There's now no opt-out for public school kids in California on their sodomy lessons. These public schools are giving the kids sodomy 101, that is LGBT homosexuality programs. And there's no opt-out now in public schools, in California schools. And this from a story in Fox News, Orange County School District. And by the way, that's the most conservative county in Southern California. The Orange County School District now forbids parents from opting kids out of the LGBT lessons. So no opt-out for public school kids in California for their sodomy lessons. These public schools, they feel they must give the public school kids their sodomy 101 class. Down at Sodom schools, the California legislature is making sure of the fact that every kid gets sodomy 101, that's core curriculum in California public schools. Phonics may not be an essential, but sodomy 101 is an essential in California schools. Of course, Bill, this does not apply to Christian families, because certainly no Christian families would send their kids to Sodom's schools for sodomy 101 classes in California. That I think is obvious.
Well, wait. Back up here. How many Christians are still in the public schools?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't know how many Christians there are in California.
Yeah. It's left.
5,000 families, maybe 10,000. Would Christians want to indoctrinate their kids in sodomy?
No, they would not. But they think you got to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. And since the school is paid for by taxpayer money, then we have to have these programs because we have to be all inclusive. And therefore, we'll just train our children at home and maybe do it in Sunday school class in a 15-minute little devotional, but we will sacrifice them on the altar of Moloch and roll them down the arms of the idols into burning fires, figuratively, in the public schools.
So what you're saying is that when parents have made the decision to send their kids off to Sodom's schools, and that is give up responsibility for their children's education, now they're going to trust the total control of their children's education to Sodom's schools, and their children will receive sodomy 101 in Sodom's schools. At the point at which they have given up their responsibility to direct the children's education, they no longer get to make the call. And by the way, that is the American legal description over a number of court cases since the 1980s. And we're going to hit that in just a second.
Locus, yeah.
That's right.
In place of the parents.
Well, parents in Orange County, California may not opt their children out of these lessons related to gender identity, sexual orientation, et cetera, according to a memorandum issued by the Orange County Board of Education. Here's the quote. Parents who disagree with instructional materials related to gender, gender identity, gender expression, sexual orientation may not excuse their children from this instruction. Now, they may exclude their children from comprehensive sex ed. So there's a qualification there. Students can be excused from comprehensive sex health education portion of the law, but not, they may not be exempted from instruction in sodomy. Isn't that interesting, Bill? Well, friends, since 1987, parental rights have been severely curtailed for families using the free public schools in America. You sign away your parental rights when you use the free socialist medical programs, and you have signed away your parental rights by checking your kids into public schools. When you say, I will not take financial responsibility for my children's food, health, and education, you're giving your children over to Caesar. Now, thankfully, there have been what I call islands of freedom that have developed over the last 30 to 40 years in this country. You can opt out of Sodom schools. And this, by the way, has been approved in all 50 states. Did you know that, Bill?
Yep.
All 50 states allow for parents to take their kids out of Sodom schools and to homeschool their children. It turns out there are islands of freedom that, by the grace of God, by the sovereign overruling of the Lord Jesus Christ over all things, it turns out that, yes, praise God, we have an option. Parents have an option. You do not have to sign away your parental rights. You can keep your kids at home. And several years ago, you know, homeschoolers crowded into the Education Committee room of the Colorado House, and I was there, testifying against the compulsory attendance law, which they were ratcheting up. They were increasing the compulsory attendance law over our children, I think from 7 to 16 to 6 to 17. And we were there. We're packed in. The homeschoolers are packed into the committee room, the education committee room of the Colorado State House. And it turns out not one Christian school family, not one Christian school parent, not one public school parent in the room protesting the law, the ratcheting up and the more severe compulsory attendance law that was being imposed upon Colorado families. But the homeschool parents were there. And it turns out the governor, who happened to be Governor Evans at the time, he had carved out an exemption for homeschoolers in the law. He had impressed the importance of including an exemption in the bill for homeschooling families. And so they did it. They said, well, the governor's not going to sign this anyway unless there is an exemption for homeschool families. And so I still stepped up to the microphone. They had announced the exemption. We have included an exemption for homeschooling families. I stepped up to the microphone and said, well, I protest this law. And
period. Just protested, period.
And the chairperson turned to me and said, she said, are you a homeschooling parent? I said, I am. She says, step down. We don't want to hear from you. We've already made an exemption for you. Go away. I said, I'm still here for the other 97% of parents that didn't show up here. I'm here to fight for parental rights for those parents.
That's right.
Who need to make those choices for themselves. She said, sit down. And by the way, later she apologized. But she got a little huffy. She said, you need to sit down. We have made an exemption for the 3%. We have made an exemption for you homeschooling families. And where are the parents from these Christian schools? Where are the parents from the private schools? Where are the parents from the public schools? They don't care. Do you understand? They don't care about parental rights. And that's why they're not here this morning to protest the ratcheting up of the compulsory attendance law in the state of Colorado.
And say that's what homeschoolers stand for, liberty for all. Not, we just don't want the exemption. We want liberty to flourish and flow throughout culture. We want all parents to realize they have the authority over their children's education biblically. And they need to take the responsibility for their education, whatever choice they make as to where they educate their children. It is their responsibility, and they cannot abdicate that responsibility. In fact, recently, just yesterday, there was a sex ed sit out across the nation. Parents are fed up with sex education and the sodomizing of the minds of children through sex ed, and many parents have walked out.
Mm-hmm. Well, they need to walk out of the schools.
They need to walk
permanently.
Out permanently.
That's right, not just for a single day, because what the government funds, the government controls. And friends, this is the way it works in American public schools. This is the way it works. This begins back in 1987 when, in Mozart versus Hawkins County Public Schools, there was a turning point for parental rights. It was touted by the media as the Scopes 2 trial. Mozart was held or tried in Tennessee, and children were expelled from public schools because they refused to read a series of reading books that violated their religious beliefs. And the purpose of the lawsuit was to seek to restore the right of these students to attend public school and be given an alternative reading assignment. The central issue in the case was, do parents and children who have sincere religious objections to public school curriculum have the right to alternative instruction for the objectionable material? That was the material question, and I'm quoting from Mike Ferris, who actually argued this case for these parents whose kids were attending the public schools who wanted some degree of parental rights. But it turns out the Sixth Circuit Court ruled that once a child has been submitted to the public school for education, parents lose all ability to control the course of instruction. That was the decision made in the Sixth Circuit Court ruling. And by the way, they appealed to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court refused to pick it up, and the lower court ruling held in that case. And again, the lower court ruling in Mozart in 1987 was that once a child has been submitted to the public school for education, parents lose all ability to control the course of instruction. That was 1987, 2001, the Palmdale case. Remember the Palmdale case with the sex survey for 6 and 7 year olds in Palmdale, San Francisco area? The Ninth Circuit Court held that although the parents are legitimately concerned with the subject of sexuality, there's no constitutional reason to distinguish that concern from any of the countless moral, religious, or philosophical objections that parents might have to other decisions of the school district, whether those objections regard information concerning guns, violence, the military, gay marriage, racial equality, slavery, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the court ruled that parents have no rights as their children are brought into the public schools. The court made it entirely explicit that once children are left at the public school's front door, all parental control over the child's education ceases. In sum, according to this court ruling, the Ninth Circuit court ruling the Palmdale case, we affirm, quote, that parental rights do not extend beyond the threshold of the school door.
Wow.
Okay, that's 2001. So again, my friends, do you want parental rights? You want parental rights for your children? You want to make a call for little Alfie as you check him into the public schools or as you check him into public hospitals that are funded by the state? You get no parental rights. What the government funds, the government controls, period. In 2007, the Morse v. Frederick ruling by the Supreme Court of the United States examined the constitutionality of public schools' ability to regulate a student's speech. The Supreme Court, in a 5-4 ruling, said Principal Deborah Morse did not violate Joseph Frederick's right to free speech when she took down his poster, which advocated marijuana use. In his opinion of Morse v. Frederick, Supreme Court Justice Thomas said, and this is Clarence Thomas, the conservative on the court. He wrote his opinion, Morse v. Frederick, and he said, if parents do not like the rules imposed by those schools, they can seek redress in school boards and legislatures. They can send their children to private schools or homeschool them, or they can simply move. But in the meantime, the public schools, the individual public schools, have the right to do whatever they want as long as parents have checked their kids into these public schools.
These are not public schools then. They are state schools.
Oh, absolutely. They're state schools. That's a better way to put it. And, you know, I think people wonder why we consider parental rights to be so important. People ask us, you know, why are you down there at the House Education Committee meeting arguing against the compulsory attendance law being ratcheted up in the state of Colorado? They ask us these questions. Why are you guys so worked about all this parental rights stuff? Well, because of Alfie. Because of the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of parents who eventually discover their kids are picking up sodomy 101 or bestiality 101 in their local public school district, and the parents want to feel that they have some control over these kids. But what we want is the freedom and the responsibility to direct the education of our children, to control the education of our children, and to fund the education of our children ourselves, my friends. And those who do not want to lay down their own lives and sacrifice something for the education of their own children and call the shots for the education of their own children, as in when their children are educated and how much the children are educated, what subjects their children will be educated in. As long as parents aren't interested in calling those shots, they're not going to be embracing the value of parental rights. And, of course, people said the same thing about the Pilgrims that founded this nation on religious freedoms. At that point, of course, the state was not interested in controlling the family. At that point, the state was interested in controlling the church. Now, of course, the state has increased its control over every single aspect of our life. since democracy and since the modern world has introduced socialism. But the Pilgrims were fighting tooth and nail that they could maintain something of an autonomy in their decisions as to whether John Bunyan would be their pastor or not, or whether they might use candles or smells and bells or certain garbs in the worship service of their local church. They wanted some degree of control. They didn't want Queen Elizabeth or King James or anybody else. Either way. They didn't want these kings and queens to control the decisions related to the ecclesiastical functions in their local churches. And my friends, the Pilgrims went to the gallows for it. They did. At least three Pilgrims were hung in the 1590s under the jurisdiction of Queen Elizabeth, that tyrant from the 1580s and 1590s. Yes, the Pilgrims went to the gallows for the right to determine how their churches would be governed. And, you know, there were 97% of the people in England were mocking these people because they didn't care about freedom for the church out from under the auspices of the state. They just didn't care. And they saw these Pilgrims hanging from the gallows, and they saw these homeschoolers arguing the case down at the education committee. And yes, it was a 3%. Nobody else cared to be there. So the masses are mocking the people who stand on principle and are arguing and fighting for freedom for future generations in order that the state would not control the family, because these people understood that what the state controls, when the state controls the church, the state destroys the church. And when the state controls the family, the state destroys the family. When the state controls education, the state will destroy education.
The intent and the actions of business people, they will destroy business.
Absolutely. The state has a mud touch when it's doing that which has not been given to it by the jurisdictional authority of Almighty God and according to his laws. And so, of course, this is what we've seen throughout history. Of course the state destroys the church. Of course the state destroys the family. It's done that ever since LBJ's rotten welfare programs that he brought into the inner cities. And now, 77% of little boys and girls born in these inner cities are born outside of wedlock to African-American parents and so such. Well, my friends, it's a bad, bad scene right now. And as we work hard to maintain the responsibilities and the freedom and the rights of parents, we will see the salvaging of the institution of the family. As we argue, as we fight for the freedom for the family, we will see the survival of the family in the 21st century. This is a vital battle. And if you don't appreciate freedom, if it's not a value for you, I say with Samuel Adams, if you love wealth more than liberty, the tranquility of servitude better than the animating contest of freedom, depart from us in peace. We ask not your counsel nor your arms. May your chains rest lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that you were our countrymen. Freedom. It's a value.
Yep.
Worth fighting for.
And it's liberty for all, not liberty for some.
That's right. And we're going to fight for freedom for the family, my friends. And of course, we're going to fight socialism. We're going to fight government control and funding of every aspect of life. Yes, we will. Yes, we will. And I hope that there is something left of a love for freedom running in the bloodstreams of a few people listening to this radio program today. I know that much of this is strange to the ears of the modern socialist as they kiss the chains that binded them. But I'd encourage you to our book, Freedom, where we are resurrecting the concept of freedom and liberty in the modern world. The battle for freedom has waged since the Magna Carta and all the way back to Jesus. And I trace the battle for freedom in the Western world all the way back from the period of the early church in this book, Freedom, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. We also have a study guide that goes along with this neat little book called Freedom. As we develop a biblical argument, a biblical definition, a biblical defense for the idea of freedom and liberty under the laws of God, and also trace the battle for freedom, which inevitably was a small minority of people that would fight against massive tyrannies since roughly the Magna Carta. If you would like to understand more of the age-old battle for freedom, the heritage that you have received in the Western world, grab a copy of Freedom And of course, the study guide is also available with it at our website, generations.org. That is generations.org. And this is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack in studio. And we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.